We have a very appropriate psalm for our meditation today. David was providentially hindered from going to the house of God to worship him, and wrote this psalm of his desire to be in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 42, to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." As I said, David wrote this psalm when he was unable to go to the house of God, to the tabernacle. We might say he was unable to go to church. It's thought that he wrote this during the time when he was on the run, hiding from Saul, going from place to place, somewhat homeless. It was a time when Saul wanted to kill him, even though he had enjoyed many victories and enjoyed sweet fellowship, even with Saul. His longing for God teaches us several things about the nature of public worship and the blessings that we find here. These help you to understand the longing that David expresses, and I hope through this meditation to stir up a similar longing in you as well. Let me give three brief blessings that come through in this psalm, even as David expresses his longing for worship. The first is the blessing of God's presence. David understood that to come to worship was to come into the presence of the living God. Now, he and we all have access to God directly through prayer, and David is obviously enjoying that. That's what this psalm is. But the psalm is about gathering for worship and about the special blessing that God pours out as we come into his presence. And that's what David laments in verse 2. He says, "When shall I come and appear before God?" And in David's day, that presence of the Lord was mediated through some things that were anticipatory of the coming of Jesus Christ. It was in the tabernacle and the altar and the lamb and the priests. And yet David understood those as being pointing towards the presence of God and how in worship we come into his presence. Now today we have something even greater, because through Jesus Christ, we are drawn by him. When we come into worship, we are drawn into the presence of Almighty God. And that longing that we have to appear before the Lord is expressed especially in worship. And there's great blessing to be had here. Second, the blessing of worshiping with others. We probably feel this more keenly right now, since we are scattered by the coronavirus. David says that he remembers the sweet joy and the praise that he shared with the multitude who went together to the house of God. I pray that this forced separation, forced absence, will strike a similar longing in each of you. These are extraordinary days when we can't gather together in church. And it may be that you fall in love with virtual church. It may be that you fall in love with being able to roll out of bed a little bit later, or the informality of being able just to tune in on your phone or on your computer. You may find it to be less threatening or less socially stressful, especially if you're tending towards the introvert side of the scale. But worship is meant to be together. There's blessing in the body of believers that comes together. It's meant to be together with brothers and sisters, sinners all, but sinners redeemed by Jesus Christ. So pray for the blessing of worshiping together. Third, the blessing of casting our cares upon Him. And this is perhaps the strongest theme of this psalm. David expresses his distress with really powerful images. He's like a deer that is panting, dying of thirst, longing to meet with God. He's like a person who's crushed under the weight of water that's coming over a waterfall, or being out at the ocean and being overwhelmed by the waves. He tells of how his enemies mock him, how they rebuke him, as if they were crushing his bones with their words. Look at the mighty David, the man after God's own heart. The champion of Goliath over Goliath, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Where is your God now, David? Where is your God? And David's answer is that he casts his cares upon the Lord. And he recognizes how worship has that element of coming before the Lord and saying, "You are my God. You are the one who delivers. You are my Savior." And again, David sees this looking forward as a prophet, looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, who would deliver not from physical enemies, but from the crushing weight of sin and the enemy Satan. We have that fully realized in Jesus Christ. And in our worship services, the forgiveness of our sins is part of the proclamation of the gospel. It's part of the dialogue of worship that we come and humble ourselves before the Lord, and God expresses to us the assurance that our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. We cast our cares upon Him, and the Lord hears and answers by forgiving in Jesus Christ. And then for your own study, let me just note five practical things that David does to remind himself of these cares that he can cast upon the Lord. I'll go through these quickly so that you can go and look at them yourself. One, he deliberately remembers who God is and what he's done. Look at verse 6. "I will remember you from Jordan." Two, David calls to mind God's promises. Look at verse 8. And in the midst of those dark nights of the soul, what does he remember? God's song of deliverance. Even in that dark night, the promises of God are things that he calls to his mind. Third, David prays. Verse 9, "I will say to God my rock, why have you forsaken me?" This is a good introduction to the sermon on Hannah's prayer, and I'll come to that in a moment. Number 4, David says to himself, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. He is my help. He is my God." He takes those promises and applies them to himself directly. And 5, David sings. He wrote this personally, but he gave it to the church, and he gave it to be sung. And we too sing these words. We can sing that God is our help and our hope, and counsel each other and speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. giving this hope of deliverance that David has given to us as well. The blessings of public worship. Let's do that. Today we'll be singing selections A and B. We'll take that A selection first and express our longing for the Lord. Psalm 42a, please stand to sing to the Lord.